to the Creative Pen Podcasts. I'm Joanna Penn, bringing you interviews, inspiration and information on writing, publishing options, internet sales and promotion for your book. The companion website is www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with a double N. And here's the show. Hi everyone, I'm Joanna Penn from thecreativepen.com, and today I have an exciting interview for you with Stephen Windwalker, who runs the Kindle Nation daily blog. Now, it was very exciting for me to talk to Stephen because when I launched Pentecost back at the beginning of February, I joined the Kindle Nation daily sponsorship program. And I'm just going back to my Facebook page where I keep track of my ranking at facebook.com/Pentecost novel. And I'm going back, and basically I did a sponsorship for a day with him, and Pentecost got to number 370 overall in the Kindle store, number 4 in religious fiction, and number 1 on movers and shakers. So pretty exciting, and I have a screen print of Pentecost sitting next to The Shack, which you may have heard of, a pretty big novel. So pretty excited to talk to Stephen. We go through, you know, sort of what he saw coming with the Kindle, you know, incredibly prescient man that he sort of got into that early. And his business model now is brilliant because it helps authors get their book launched. And I am going to be relaunching Pentecost over Pentecost weekend, which makes sense. I will be back on Kindle Nation and also looking at some other sort of promotional things. So I hope you enjoy the interview. I should say that today is Thursday, 5th of May, as I'm 2011, as I'm recording this, and I'm pretty much sitting in a bare house on the edge of moving to England. So very soon my next podcast interview will be based from England. So exciting times. I'll keep you up to date, and yeah, enjoy the interview. Hi everyone, I'm Joanna Penn from the Creative Pen Podcast, and today I'm interviewing Stephen Windwalker. Stephen is the author of 27 fiction and non-fiction books, as well as running the Kindle Nation Daily and other Kindle sites, and he's an expert in everything Kindle related. So welcome, Stephen.
Thanks, Joanna. It's great to be here.
Thanks so much for coming on the show. So maybe you could start by telling us a bit more about your own writing and publishing career.
Well, it's certainly checkered, but back in the 70s in my undergraduate days, I thought I was going to be writing not just one, but several great American novels. And I studied with Kurt Vonnegut and Robert Lowell, and I would be fiction editor of the literary magazine, and I was, it was always a great time to be an undergraduate. And then when I finished up there, I decided that, well, actually it would be a little bit better to actually get some life experience and live rather than write about, the same things that everyone at 23 writes about.
Yeah.
So I went off to become one of Sarah Palin's favorite people. I became a community organizer, mostly in the southern United States, but all over for about a dozen years, and put writing aside. When I had kids and I wanted to stop working 75 hours a week, I opened a bookstore in Boston, and it was a great community bookstore. Didn't make a dime. But it was a wonderful thing that I did for about 4 years. And so I kind of wore these different hats. And then, as my kids got older and I was starting to think about how I was going to pay for them to go to college, since I couldn't convince them not to go, I ended up as a, running the book, video, and software business for Inc. magazine, which then got swallowed up by Bertelsmann and Random House. So I was running a relatively small book publishing imprint for one of the largest publishing media corporations in the world. I had a lot of different kinds of experiences, and I also did, I took the running a brick and mortar bookstore in the 80s into doing some online bookselling of my own in the early part of, right around 2000, the early part of the past decade. So I had all kinds of experiences, and then there were a couple of novels in the file cabinet, I created something called Harvard Perspectives Press, and which was named after favorite Harvard House of Pizza. one of the favorite institutions of my undergraduate days, and I self-published a book on online bookselling, which went through five print runs of 3,000 or 4,000 copies and did quite well. And of course, that book put quite a spotlight on Amazon's business model. When I saw Jeff Bezos on November 19th, 2007, on the Charlie Rose Show, pontificating and evangelizing about the Kindle on the day of its launch, I was just really jazzed by that. I really bought into the vision of the Kindle right away, and the notion that it would take, that it had the potential to remove all kind of intermediaries from the process and really empower authors and really empower readers. So I was very excited about that from the get-go. Within about an hour, I'm sitting there thinking about this, and I said, well, somebody's got to write a book about how to use the Kindle and all the things it can do and whether you can do email on it and so forth and so on. And I thought, who better than me? I realized that you could write a book about the Kindle for the Kindle, and it would be in a pretty good spot. But that there would be, it would be really good to be the first mover on this. And so I began, I think I published the first chapter of this book as a standalone excerpt, on November 26th, 7 days later. And by February 3rd, there were four or five chapters that had been aggregated into sort of the beta version of the book, which became the complete user's guide to the amazing Amazon Kindle, I think it was called. And by the end of February, that book was number one in the Kindle store. And for the entire year of 2008, it was the number one book in the Kindle store, which isn't quite the same as being the number one book in the Kindle store in 2011, but it was still substantial. And I realized one day at breakfast in probably April or May that it seemed like I had something that every author would kill for or die for or something, which is a platform. Because I had figured out that I could put something, put a little invitation at the beginning of the book, somewhere in the book, inviting people to shoot me an email if they'd like updates. And that became a mailing list, that became a newsletter, that became a blog, the Kindle Nation Daily blog. It's kind of an organic process.
I find that really fascinating because, you know, you obviously saw this and you embraced it really fast. And let's face it, most of the traditional publishing industry have not embraced it as fast as someone like you have. And I mean, I'm in Australia and I didn't even, you know, we didn't even get the Kindle until, you know, sort of 18 months ago. So we were well behind. I wondered, you know, given that you got it on day one, what have you seen change in the last 6 months as it seems to have gone mainstream?
Well, it's an incredibly exciting time. And, you know, at the sort of, what you see is you see kind of the tip of the iceberg where we have these positively pornographic stories about the sales of the sales figures from John Locke or Amanda Hawking or whomever, and the $2 million contracts and all of this kind of thing. But at levels not so far removed from that, there are just a large number of people who are really making a living. Some of them who had never published a word in their lives before, like Amanda Hawking, and some of them, like quite a few suspense writers that I'm working with, who have historically been traditionally published and done well with that, but now are looking at the capacity to be able to connect with a lot more readers at much lower prices and still make more money per unit than they were making when their books were selling for $15 to $25. Mm. So that's kind of exciting. And you know, in terms of all of the change that's taking place, you know how sometimes you'll see, I suppose this is the kind of thing you see in a science fiction movie or something, where this time stop photography of the solar system where you just get this whoosh feeling of everything, all the stars are reorganizing their constellations and their relationships to each other, the kind of thing that you never see in real time. And I feel like that's kind of going on in the world of independent publishing and the world of publishing generally, so that you've got people who are changing their own relationship to the means of production, and they're changing their relationship to editors and agents and so forth. And then you've got people who have been editors and agents, and some of them are being laid off by publishing behemoths, or what used to be large publishing corporations, and are getting smaller every day. And they're trying to organize themselves to provide services to this new group of authors and publishers. So there's a lot that's very exciting that's going on. Mm. But I think at the most important level, what's really happening is that readers are in power. They're deciding what prices they're going to pay. They're deciding when they want to, you know, readers are no longer in the position of being trained to say that a book comes out in hardcover and you don't see it in paperback for 8, 10, 12 months, and you're supposed to pay a certain price that first year and a different price the second year, but maybe you can buy it on a remainder table or for a penny from the Amazon marketplace. You know, all of those things are changing so quickly. But I see readers as being more in charge, more their own gatekeepers than ever.
No, that's absolutely right. And while we're talking about price, you know, it's very controversial at the moment, and you hear the phrase, you know, race to the bottom, and yet you see John Locke and that, you know, making money with 99 cents. What is your opinion, since you see so many Kindle books selling, you know, what is your opinion on the price point?
Well, I have to say that I've kind of been proven wrong. I wrote a relative, kind of a pocket-sized ebook for authors and publishers about Kindle pricing, about ebook pricing, just 8 or 10 months ago, in which I said that it was with the new 70%, what was then the new 70% royalty structure for ebooks priced between $2.99 and $9.99. I was saying that it just made no sense to price a book below $2.99, because you'd have to pay at 99 cents, you'd have to sell six times as many copies to make the same amount of money as you would at $2.99. And of course, that's not going to happen. Wrong. you know, so it's clearly been proven that authors can make a fine living at 99 cents a book. I mean, John Locke is doing it, and there are quite a few books that are in the that move in and out of the top 100 in the Kindle store. Sometimes it seems like there's more than 100 slots, where you know, authors who had done very little in the past, if anything, changed their price to 99 cents, had a great cover, got some marketing help, and went right to the moon. I guess what I really think about it is that the people who are doing best with the current array of prices in the Kindle store are authors who have a brand and 4, 5, 6, 10, 12 different titles. And they're in a position where they can price one book or two books, the first in a series, at 99 cents, and then set a price at 2.99. If they're indie authors, I think 2.99 makes a whole lot of sense. For the rest of the books in a series, and that has really worked for quite a few people. So I guess in terms of the question of it being a race to the bottom, what strikes me is that pricing a book at 99 cents and making tens of thousands of dollars on it doesn't seem like a race to the bottom to me. It seems that there's one of the things that we have to adjust to in the ebook marketplace, I guess, is that there is no scarcity, and that's true at kind of both ends of the economic spectrum. There's no scarcity in terms of books. There's no scarcity in terms of paper or the cost of shipping or any of the things that tend to drive prices up. So there's no scarcity in terms of the number of places in a book, in a physical bookstore, where you can display books. And so that's true. And then at the other end, there's no scarcity of customers. I mean, with the rate at which what they call the installed base of Kindles and other ebook readers and ebook reading apps is growing, nobody needs to worry at this point, not even Ken Follett or James Patterson, about over-penetrating the market or anything like that. I've actually had conversations with authors who said to me, "Well, I don't want to sell all my copies at 99 cents because then there'll be nobody left to buy it when I raise it to 2.99 again." And I'm thinking, well, you know, how many millions of copies are you thinking of selling at 99 cents, and what would be wrong if it is indeed millions with that?
Mm.
So I just think there's a lot of very different realities to adjust to, and there's it just doesn't work to use the old models.
Hmm. No, I agree with you, and I've been having this sort of discussion on my blog about this as well. And to me, it's not 99 cents; it's 99 cents times the number of books you sell, and that's what people people seem to forget that. And even though I only have one book, and I'm basically doing the 99 cent thing to build an audience, and then the next one, as you say, the next one will be 2.99. So yeah, I mean, there are just so many different models that people can't really grasp it, and people are getting very defensive about it, though, aren't they?
Yeah, you know, and I totally get. I mean, there's a mindset that it's hard for any of us not to have when we work for years on something and really, you know, pour our blood, sweat, and tears into it and try and make it as great as possible. You know, you want a publishing contract, one. Two, you don't want it to be diminished in value by it only being some silly low price. But as you say, it isn't. The importance of the price of something is not just A, it's A times B. And B is the number of people who buy it. So, you know, I just don't think authors do anything good for themselves by saying that the price of an individual unit of their book is going to validate them. What's going to validate them is connecting with as many readers as possible. And if they can sell 10 times, and I suspect for many books this is true, if they can sell 10 times as many books at 99 cents as they can at $2.99, or, you know, 20 times as many as at $4.99, then they'd be silly. They'd be leaving an awful lot of money on the table and connecting with a lot fewer readers to charge an artificially high price.
Absolutely. Okay, now I wanted to ask you, because you see so many launches. I mean, you're pretty much helping people launch books on Kindle Nation all the time. You know, I saw some brilliant results, but what are the most important things that you see for actually making sales on the Kindle, you know, whether you push with advertising or not? You know, what are the key things that people have to do with their Kindle sales page?
Well, good question. And, you know, as you might expect, it's a lot more than just the quality of the book. There's, I think the most important things are the quality of the book, because that will tell very soon, even if it doesn't tell on day one, because there will be reviews and there will be, I'm a believer in the wisdom of the crowd on this, even though we all see reviews that we think are atrociously inaccurate and so forth and cruel. That being said, quality is enormously important, but things like an attractive, high impact cover and really tight, good formatting, things like a linked table of contents. I think it's important anyway. It's certainly important for nonfiction books. And a good title. A good title is worth a lot. I also think that genre is really important. You know, people are going to write the books they need to write. But I do see... I see so many people. There are just so many vampires on the printed or digital page, and I think that it's that's perfectly fine, but just don't ever write a book. Don't ever write a book about that. The sort of fits into a certain niche because you think it's a guarantee for success. Because for all of the million selling vampire titles, I've certainly seen quite a few that just haven't cut the mustard. The authors ended up kind of wringing their hands and saying, "Why didn't this take off? It was about a vampire." I'm sorry, I'm being a little harsh, but nothing has changed about what positions a book to succeed. Once a book is on the Kindle platform, I think it's enormously important to take all those things like great cover and great excerpts and so forth and find a way to deliver them to as many eyeballs as possible. And the ways in which that is happening are changing, again, dramatically. And the gatekeepers are very different than they than they were for the second half of the 20th century in the publishing business, and I tend to think of that as a good thing, although it's certainly also true that I'm involved and I have a vested interest. I mean, one of the things that really, you know, I mentioned how early on with the Kindle, I realized that I had a platform, and what I didn't say is that when the Kindle came out, I had been working myself on a book called Beyond the Literary Industrial Complex, and about the changing world of publishing and indie publishing and so forth. So part of what got me very excited right from the get-go about the Kindle was the chance to use my platform as it developed to help readers and authors connect, and that's just been an enormous amount of fun. Mm-hmm. And very exciting. And I get jazzed every several times a week when I see some book that's sponsoring Kindle Nation jump from, you know, 200,000 in the Kindle sales rankings to 458 or something, and suddenly the author is on the number one in her genre, or number three or whatever. So that it's very cool to be able to be part of that process and to work with other authors and see how excited they get about the process.
Mm. Well, absolutely, and certainly worked for Pentecost when I used Kindle Nation. So why don't you just explain a bit about what the Kindle Nation Daily is and what opportunities authors have to use your site to connect with readers?
Sure. Kindle Nation Daily is at kindlenationdaily.com, all one word, .com. And it is as the name suggests, a daily blog where we have probably anywhere from 15 to 25 or 30 posts a week, where the posts, there's a balance between posts that are about books and free book alerts and bargain book alerts and all of that kind of thing. There are also posts that are tips about how to make the most of your Kindle, how to use it for this and that, and how to, how to deal with the technology of it. And there are posts about news in the Kindle world, in the Kindle sphere, just in terms of, you know, some new model or a better price or how certain issues are being handled with respect to, you know, the agency model for publishing and all of those kinds of things. So there's commentary and news and tips and things that help people find bargains as well. And about a year ago, about 2 years ago, we started running something a couple of times a week called a free Kindle Nation short excerpt, where we publish anywhere from 5,000 to 20,000 words of somebody's book, usually fiction, but not always fiction. We'd send that out via email. Eventually, after about a year, I was seeing that having just an enormously positive effect on the books that were being excerpted. And I started to realize that in some shape or form there was kind of a business model here, which would be nice because it would allow me to invest a little in making the whole website, blog, etc. Better. So we started providing sponsorships, and we set it up. If you go to that KindleNationDaily.com website, right at near the top of the page, there's a row of white on black tabs, and one of them says, I think, sponsorship info. And authors are able to sponsor. We have a couple of authors a day. One author sponsors our free book alert that goes out every morning at around 7 a.m. And Then we have another author who sponsors, who was an ebook of the day to sponsor the site. And there are several other permutations. And it all allows indie authors to kind of level the playing field with all the other books that are out there. One of the things that you'll see right on that sponsorship info page is that there is a link to spreadsheets for every single book that has been a sponsor of Kindle Nation to show how it did in the sales rankings. We're very transparent about that because, you know, indie authors are not, I'm sure that the costs of marketing are dear to them. So we want people to see exactly what they might be paying for. There's obviously no guarantees, and we try and make it clear to people that that it's not an ad per se, because the author isn't in direct control of what's said about the book. We decide what's said about the book, but we're generous, and you know, we want to see our sponsors' books succeed. So it's been a pretty good working situation.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fantastic, and I've rebooked with you, and I'll definitely be coming back. And I think if people, you know, come and have a look at your site and they can see how things work, you know, before they jump in, that's probably a good idea. So I just had one more question before we finish. Obviously, you have a lot of readers of the Kindle who hang out on your site to find out information. What do you know? Where else are some good places for authors to be targeting? You know, where do Kindle readers hang out and get recommendations?
Well, I think one of the most exciting places is something called booklending.com, which has really just developed since about the first of the year. The couple who started it, Catherine and Martin, have just done a wonderful job of taking the capacity for people to lend and borrow Kindle books and turning it into a wonderful community of people where there's a real altruism at work, and where people, it isn't all transactional. They don't just lend and borrow books. They talk about the books, and I know for a fact that they also buy a lot of books. So it's not like it's become a 100% barter economy. So I'm probably more inclined there, since we started the sponsorship model, and I think we really were the first. I've certainly seen an explosion of people who are validating our business model by trying to do the exact same thing. So I'm a little less likely to talk about them, but I certainly will say that booklending.com is a great site, and it's one that that authors can engage with, and I think that's important. It's like Kindle Nation. It's also very has a high profile on Facebook. What I'd say about that site and about Kindle Nation and is that there's a voice there. That you have a sense that it isn't just some web developer who has created a software widget that will serve up books. There's some sense of authenticity and of a, you know, both. The more of these sites that can be run by English majors like myself and Catherine and some other people, I think the better for the whole enterprise. But that's my own bias.
Brilliant. Well, where can people find you and Kindle Nation and your books?
Well, if you go onto the internet, like I say, just kindlenationdaily.com. That's all you need. Type that in, you'll get there. If you go to Facebook, Right now, actually. When's this going to air, Joanna?
In the next 10 days.
Okay. One of the things we're doing on Facebook is we're giving away a lot of Kindles and accessories and gift cards and things like that. So if you go to Facebook.com/KindleNation, you'll come to our Facebook page and you get a chance to maybe win a Kindle. And for my books, if you go to Amazon and type in Stephen Windwalker, S-T-E-P-H-E-N, Windwalker, or even if you typed in Windwalker Kindle, I think you'd come up with quite a few listings. And if you really drill down to searching under my name, you might even find some of the fiction. But that's harder to find.
Brilliant. Yeah. Okay, well, thanks ever so much for your time. That was great.
Joanna, it's fun to talk to you, and thanks so much for having me on.
Thanks for listening today. I hope you found it helpful. You can get more information on writing, publishing options, sales, and promotion for your book at www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with double N. And you can also get your free How to Be an Author workbook at www.howtobeanauthor.com. See you next time.